Blog Talk Radio.
I see the morning coming in your eyes. Jubilee, Jubilee. It's shining brighter than the sun in the sky. Jubilee, Jubilee.
I hear your joy bells ringing in your voice.
Jubilee, Jubilee. Yeah.
Your kind of singing cutting through the noise.
Jubilee, Jubilee. Oh, Jubilee.
Beautiful song, but I'm sure that the fact not many people understand its meaning, but if you continue to study us with us somewhere along the line, we'll find out what Jubilee is all about. Praise Yah. And if you're a new caller, new student, they like to study with us, we appreciate that fact. And we're looking forward to it. My name is Yamsouf Arif, and this is the Real Talk for Real People show. A show that is designed to give you an intelligent, accurate, bird's eye view, critical analysis, and our assessment. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. We're not here to share in misinformation, false information. We're here to share in the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. It seems that we have become dumbed down. I don't think we've ever been intelligent, as far as this Western Hemisphere is concerned, about Yah, Elohim. There has been a lot of misinformation, and people are totally confused about it every day. But it's our more obligation and duty to do no less to bring you the truth, as far as the Elohim is concerned. In its entirety. And perhaps you're wondering, Yamsouf, who are the we that you're making reference to? Well, they're lead students like I'm a lead student. And the reason why I mention students, you never stop learning or you never should. Once you stop learning, you're probably, for all practical purposes, spiritually and physically dead. So as long as we're not spiritually and physically dead, it's imperative and incumbent upon us to continue in these studies. And the people I mentioned, these lead students are Sister Avia of New York City and Brother Cardrell of New York City. And you have a right to ask, what do I know about them? I don't know about that. No, they don't have no bachelor's degree, the PhD, the doctor of divinity, doctor of theology, none of that. That doesn't matter because it doesn't mean anything. But what they do have is much more valuable than that, which is wisdom and understanding. Is more precious than gold and silver, precious stone. They do have that. That's why they're studied. And in addition to that, they love the Most High with all their heart, mind, souls, and strength. And in addition, in conjunction with that, their brothers and sisters, as they love themselves. That's good enough for me. And it should be good enough for you. So let me bring them on. Sister Avia, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom. Sister Avia, seems like you seem to be having a connection problem because all the thing you're doing is just spinning. Your mic is spinning. Let me see, can I get Cartriello? Yeah, Cartriello, mic came on. Cartriello, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Yom Tov. May the Most High bless you. Savia. And all the family that's out there. All praise to the Holy One of Israel. God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom.
Shalom. Let me try Avia's mic again. It just seems to be spinning in motion.
Shalom.
Sister Avia, can hear you. Go ahead.
Shalom, family. Like always, all praises and glory to you. And you sound kind of rusty. I hope you start feeling better soon.
Well, I'm feeling better.
You know,
it's just the sinus just draining. I sleep rather well. I eat rather well. It's just sinus, you know, the weather.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just draining. Just draining.
Well,
the sinus.
I hope that even have, well, let, I hope that be rapid and over with.
I appreciate that, sister. I appreciate that. Well, it's good to have both of my friends back. It's good to have you back, fellow students. The reason why I didn't say anything of a contemporary matter, because as you can see, if you got your eyes open, you're not laying around eating bun buns and cupcakes while your reality passes you by. You, if these folks are people, the most honorable men and women and the best and brightest that you have, some of you some of their politicians is concerned, I beg to differ. And boy, they about ready to cut Social Security and everything else. Well, only thing I can tell you, fake news. That's what they said. But, you know, it goes without saying. It's to be expected. These people are evil as hell. And if you can't see it, you don't want to see it. They getting ready to hurt poor folks. And they can cut taxes on rich folk with Trump. But they finna get ready to sock soul to folk that in real need, folks on Social Security and whatnot. Well, if you know, and they want you scared. They want you very scared. But in our studies, we find out y'all don't want you scared of anything. And you shouldn't be. But you should always be cognizant and have your eyes open to see what's going on. Okay? Any commentary?
No, none at all.
Well, for what we've learned, the Most High tells us, put not your trust in man, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. He says, look to the rock from which you was hewn, to the holy pit from which you were digged, but to Abraham your father, to Sarah your mother. So we rely not on man or the Son of Man, but we rely on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who created the heavens and the earth and all that in there is. So we put our trust in Yah. How many of us put our trust in Yah?
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. And so we should, Patrick. And so we should. All right. And ain't that the truth, Katya? Put not your trust in man and the Son of Man. We'll begin our studies in Bereshit, Some may call it Genesis, the Greek name, but that's not the real name. That's not the Hebrew name, nor the Hebrew interpretation, which is in the beginning of Yah's mind, by, brought to you by way of Moshe. And after that, okay, go ahead.
Chapter 10 of the Book of Bereshit.
Is
one of the most important documented, recorded texts in the history of mankind. Because way before Ancestry.com, Moshe the prophet was documenting the genealogy of all mankind. And all mankind may not look to chapter 10 in the Book of Bereshit, but trust me, if you research the names that we're about to bring forth, and chapter 10 of Bereshit is not mythology, it's historical fact.
Exactly. I'm going to ask you, fellow students, to take the time out yourselves tonight, tomorrow morning, whenever you have time. I want you to go over these names and whatnot, like Kitamon. Amorites, Canaanites, and I want you to go over Ashkenazi, which is not a Semite, a Shem, and you've heard the name, right? Ashkenazi Jew. Okay, all right. I just clarify something, and I'm not going to take the time to do all your work. We're not going to do all your work for you. You got to put in some work for yourself. I'm going to mention something. I'm going to point out something to you. But for the most part, I want you to put in some work. Okay? Stop being lazy. Think we're going to put in all the work for you. We're going to point out some vital areas. But tonight, you ought to go and look up each name of each nation, like Kittim. And let me mention a few. Ashkenazi. We're going to mention that one. Javan, which are Greeks, and Lut, which is Lydia, Hittites, Gomer, Togomrah, Canaan, you know Canaan, Manarium, which is modern day Egypt, and you know who's Put, you know Put was a nation inside the framework of Egyptians also. So I want you to look up these names, each one of them. But we're going to share some things with you, but you got to put in some work for yourselves. Okay? And Contrera, after that, will share with you in the second book of Ecclesiastes by King Solomon. Okay? Praise Yah and bless his name, holy name. And please give us wisdom and understanding to share your studies and let your pathways be our footsteps. Bless him, which is by virtue of your word. Let's get started, shall we? Now, this is one of the most important genealogies that the world kind should study. Not only us, but everybody should study this. Now, this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And sons were born to them after the flood. The sons of Japheth. Well, I want you to look up this word. Gomer, Magog, Madia, Zavon, Tubal, Meshech, Peras. The sons of Gomer, from Japheth, Ashkenazi. It's not a Shemite. Rapha.
So, yes. If you do the research, if you do the history, the son of Japheth, Gomer, is the Germanic or the German, the French, and the Spanish and the Celtic race.
Well, that's what they are. They're not Semitic people. That's for certain.
No,
they didn't tell you that. Because of your lack of studies, and lack of interest and your complacent attitude, that's what got you here. You don't want to study nothing. Then you're totally distracted by that. Go ahead, Kadria.
The importance of that, Yam Su, is that the story of Noah is not a myth. It's historic fact that everybody on planet Earth come from one of the three sons of Noah. You're either Shemitic, you're either Hamitic, or you're Japhetic. And when they talk about races, there's no such thing. You either come from the sons of Noah, one of them, Shem. You either come from Ham or you come from Japheth.
And race is a creation of universal white race supremacy. And that's a false concept. That's a misnomer. There's no such thing as a race to define men. They're defined by nation. And if y'all wanted to define by race, he would have done so. But man take it upon himself. The Japhites like to put themselves on the top. Everybody under us by design. Pacific Islander. Asiatic. Chinese. And all this nonsense. Y'all don't need all that specification. Either from one of the three. And they told you from one of the three. And this is how you designate yourselves. But as I say, universal white race, because they always want to be on top. That's their problem.
So,
all right. Go ahead, Kadria.
Yeah. This is proof positive that the Bible is not religious, but in fact, it's historic. It's the history of mankind. Where do you come from? Either you're Hamitic, you're Shemitic, or you're Japhetic. And that has nothing to do with religion.
Exactly. You can't get around it. You can't get over it. And you can't get out there. It's just the way it is. But if you've been taught falsely, you will believe that nonsense they're talking about. But Cartrielle and I and Sister Abby, we're sharing the truth with you. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. And just like on A Few Good Men, some of you can't handle the truth. That's the problem. Go ahead. Dr. Ingram, if not, I will continue.
Now, so much to uncover in this chapter right here.
Exactly.
It's one of the most significant chapters in the Bible.
It's the cornerstone of everything, in a sense. The sons of Zoran was Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, and I mentioned Kittim was Cyprus. Danim. From these, the coastline people of the Gentiles, universal white race supremacies, were separated from their lands, everyone according to his language, according to their families, not races, into their nations, not races, and from the son of Hamites, were Cush. Country, I always miss him all the time on this show, Mizraim, which is virtually Egypt. Put was
and
yes,
too.
Yes.
In the last chapter that we read, right?
Right.
The emphasis is on who? Which son of Ham?
Canaan.
Canaan. He's not even a firstborn.
No.
So now we know the sons of Ham. Way before Cain was born, Cain had older sons.
Right.
Ham had older sons.
Right.
Sons of Ham were Cush. Way before Canaan, he had Cush.
Exactly. Praise Yah. Praise Yah. And the sons of Ham were Cush, Mazarim, Put, and Canaan. Canaan.
So Canaan was who? The first
Canaan,
or the last?
The last, his youngest.
The last chapter you read, we didn't read about the firstborn sons of Ham. We read about Canaan.
Right.
That's why Noah said, my youngest son. My
right.
youngest son.
Mm-hmm.
My youngest son, Canaan.
Right. Yeah, Noah saw all his grandsons as his sons.
Yes.
True. Thank you, Contreras, for that clarification. They needed that. We all needed that. Thank you very much, brother. The sons of Cush were Seba, Havilah, Sapta, Remah, Shatikt, Chala. And the sons of Ramah was Sheba and Dedan. Now, Cush. Go ahead.
We know that King Solomon married who? The queen of Sheba. He didn't marry her, but he had conjugal relationships with her, which produced
mm-hmm.
Menelik.
Right.
So we know that Sheba is from Ham.
Exactly. Looks something remotely like us.
Oh, yeah.
And Cush begat Nimrod, you know, a mighty man, a city man, cityfied. He was a hunter, warrior, make no bones about it. But he was a city slicker, too. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Elohim. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Elohim, at the beginning of his kingdom was Baba. You remember the Tower of Baba? Erech, Akkad, Kenna, in the land of Shinar. That's why I want y'all to go name by name and break it down like I'm 4 years old. From that land, he went. Yeah, go ahead.
So they try to say that Ham was cursed.
I don't see no curse. No, I don't see no part of being cursed by anybody, but unless you put a false curse on it. But there's no curse for by the Most High, as far as Ham is concerned.
But the first son of Ham, Nimrod, who is described as a mighty hunter,
right.
He was the first dictator on planet Earth.
Exactly.
The son of Ham. And
mm-hmm.
what did he do? He began to build civilizations. The civilizations that they talk about, Sumer, Ur, Chaldees, who was responsible for that? It was Nimrod, the son of Ham, which means that the son of Ham's, they were not cursed. They showed mankind what government, civilization, what cities, cultivation, organization was all about. As a matter of fact, they're trying to get back to the order of Nimrod, one world order, because that's what Nimrod had, a one world order.
But they tell you, and they tell you correctly, what they tell you is Greek is the beginning of Western civilization, and they're right. Not in Eastern. Greece, universal white race supremacy. An analogy is correct. It's the beginning of Western, the birthplace of Western civilization. See, that's why you
and Javan was the father of the Greeks. And it does not say that Javan was a mighty hunter, that he had the one world order in effect. Javan was a Novian in sight. The Greeks, they came later on, after Nimrod and after Shem.
After.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's true. Make no bones about it. From that land, he went to Assyria, and he built Nineveh, Rehoboth, Ar, Kel, and Rezin. Between Nineveh.
Yeah, so.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the founder of Nineveh?
Nimrod.
Okay. And then we have some interaction with Nineveh?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's why you have to know history based on the prophet Moshe.
Right.
That's why these records are so accurate. It's not mythology, because the sons of Noah, Mizraim, Cush, Nimrod, they all existed. We're not talking Greek mythology or Nordic mythology. We're talking actual historic facts. All right?
And that's a fact. Thank you, Gadriel.
That's why you people swear on the Bible, right?
Exactly.
Can't be president unless you swear on the Bible. Can't be senator or congressman unless you swear on what?
Because
the Bible is the truth about the history of mankind. And people write off the Old Testament writing. But here we see, this is documented fact. We ain't going to Ancestry.com. Way before Ancestry.com, people were documented and recorded.
Thank you, Gadriel. From that land, he went to Assyria and Nineveh, Rehoboth, Ar, Calab, and Razin. Between Nineveh and Calab, that is the principal city. Now let's go to Mizraim, who begat Ladum, Anamim, Lahabim, Naphtuhim, Parasim, Caslustim, from whom came the Philistines, and Kaphtoram.
So, Yamsu,
mm-hmm.
Do you realize what you just read there?
Yes, they came from black people. See, so-called, I don't like to use that terminology. They came from people of color.
So from Mizraim, who we categorize as Egypt, it's not just Egypt. Mizraim brought forth the Philistines. And the Philistines, and who we call the Egyptians, they were brothers.
Exactly.
The Philistines and the Egyptians, who we call the Egyptians, they both came from who? Mizraim. So people say Mizraim, they already, you know, associate that with Egypt. No, Mizraim is the father of both the Egyptians and the Philistines, who are formidable enemies for the nation of Israel.
Exactly. And they look remotely like us.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't look like white people.
Oh,
they
no.
Didn't look like them.
White people say Ham was cursed black, and Mizraim is one of the sons of Ham. And the Egyptians and the Philistines, if you say he was cursed black, sons of Ham, we know they black.
Well, if they cursed black, they should be powerful advanced nations there for being under so-called curse. I don't see it, but that's the lie they tell you, because if you don't study, you'd believe it too.
So, yeah, these are the dots that we have to connect on our own, because Western institutions are not teaching us to connect these dots.
Exactly. And they won't. So
never do that.
Not that kind of establishment of education. Don't look.
All they want us to know is that Ham was cursed black. He was meant to serve white people. That's all they want us to know.
Is all they want
but
you
when
to
we
know.
Dig in and when we see what scripture actually says, it's contrary to what they say. Ham was not cursed black. Ham was never cursed. It was Canaan who was cursed, yes. But all the rest of the sons of Ham was not cursed.
And you can't believe anything they tell you. You cannot believe anything they tell you. Their word is not trustworthy. Then and now. Okay? Stop believing in them wholeheartedly with that mindset. Whatever they say is the truth. That's not the truth. That's why you're in a predicament you find yourself in today as we study. All right. Thank you, Gadriel. Now, Canaan begot Sodom, his firstborn, and Heth. And remember the Jebusites. Remember, they took Jerusalem from them. The Jebusites. You remember that, didn't you? The Amorites. The Gashites. The Hittites. The Akkites. The Sinites. The Arvadites. The Shemarites. The Hamathites. Afterwards, the families of Canaan were dispersed. And the border.
So you see, Canaan wasn't playing when it came to multiplying.
No, he wasn't playing at all.
All right.
Because they spread throughout. And the border of the Canaanites was Sidon. Remember I told you about Sidon? Remember I told you when Alexander the Great came along to sack them, to destroy them? And that Alan, what did they look like? What did they look like?
Hamites.
But they tell you, no, the island of Sidon, there was Greek folk. No, it was not. That's why he said, stop being complacent.
And the thing is also,
right,
many people skip past these genealogies.
Because they
but
tell
these
you
genealogies are what people right. are looking for in Ancestry.com. Are you Shemite, Hamite, are you a Japhite?
Exactly. Because Sons
of Noah.
They tell you in that new thing, don't consider your history. Don't even worry about that. Don't even go back, try to connect with your ancestors. No, don't even worry about that. That's why some of us are dumb like a box of rocks. They don't consider genealogy as important, but it is important.
And you think Ancestry.com is going to give you the answer? Give you the answer.
Yeah, right.
The answer is right here in the Old Testament, which people write off. Oh, that's the Old Testament. We got the New Testament. No, the Old Testament tells you where your roots are. And Noah is the father of all mankind right now. It's his sons that make up all the nations of the earth. And which part of the sons of Noah do you affiliate yourself with? Are you Hamitic? Are you Shemitic? Or are you Japhet?
Exactly. Only three that's mentioned. The only thing that's important to you in your genealogy is concerned. Not no race. That's a false construct, a misnomer. I believe in that nonsense. Thank you, Cartrell. And it says, the families of the Canaanites were dispersed, and the border of the Canaanites were from Sidon as you go toward Gera, as far as Gaza. You know the Gaza Strip.
Yeah,
Gaza Strip. Then as you go toward, it went as far toward Sodom and Gomorrah.
And who ruled Sodom and Gomorrah? Was it the Japhites? Was it the Shemites? Or was it the Hamites?
The Hamites.
Okay. From Canaan.
From Canaan.
Yeah. All right.
And that's why they're some very perverted people. And the evidence speaks of that. Not all of them, but certainly the Canaanites. And Zebalim. As far as Lasha, these were the sons of Ham according to their families.
So I've got to stop you.
Okay.
Because not only did the angels destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, they destroyed two other cities. Guess what those two other cities were?
Emma and Zebulun.
There you go.
You're so quick on his feet now. Praise
Adma and Zeboim.
Yeah.
Lot wanted to run to one of those two cities. Let me go to Adma or Zeboim. And the angels destroyed not just Sodom and Gomorrah, but they destroyed Admah and Zeboim.
That's why these studies are effective. Can you people dig it? It's true.
And maybe Lot Ash too.
Yeah, and maybe.
Lasha.
Yeah, Lasha. And, and these were sons of Ham according to their families, not races. According to their language, not races. In their lands, not races. In their nations, not races. Races would never mention, never would be mentioned for the genealogy of mankind. That's a false concept. Now, here were the children born to Shem.
So a language is in accordance with your nation.
Exactly.
And we know that languages came about at the Tower of Babel. So Moshe is jumping ahead of the game, showing the division of mankind according to their nations from the sons of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And how are they divided? According to the language they spoke. Just like now, you speak French, what that means? You're a Frenchman. You speak Portuguese, what that means? You're Portuguese. You speak Russian, what that means? You're a Russian. You speak Chinese, what that means? You speak you're Chinese, right?
Mm-hmm. And if you speak Niggerlicious, that means you're totally confused about everything.
If you speak Ebonics, that means you're Israelite.
Mm-hmm. But we don't think so. You know, my wife said she had a young fellow on a job, 21 years old. He said he believed in the Big Bang. And she said, what gets you up in the morning? He said, my anger. And that's true. When you're walking dead, Negro or Negresses, that's what gets you up in the morning sometimes, your anger. No peace of mind. No sense of direction and our purpose. Just totally confused about everything. The Big Bang woke me, and I'm angry about everything. That wouldn't wake me up in the morning. We crazy as we want to be.
And what's the antidote, Yahshua?
Mm-hmm.
And the antidote is wisdom. And what does wisdom say about anger? Wisdom says about anger.
Control
cease.
Your anger.
Cease, which means to stop. Cease from anger and forsake wrath.
Mm-hmm. It's just
if you can't do that, you're not going to reach Yah. If you can't cease from anger and forsake wrath, you're not on the path of wisdom. And wisdom is the path to Yah, right?
Yes, indeed.
So if you got wrath and anger in your baggage, you need to drop it off.
You really
no
do.
Question about it. Because you ain't wise if you're carrying anger and you're carrying wrath.
Right.
Wisdom says, if you want to reach Yah, cease from anger and forsake wrath. You have no reason to be angry. Yah said, vengeance is mine. I'm going to deal with the wicked. You ain't got no 2 cents in that project. We have no reason to be angry. We have reason to ask Yah for forgiveness for what our fathers have done and for what we are doing. No reason to be angry. What you angry at? What you
stop
mad at?
Anger. Stop soaking anger and saving it. Okay, stop it.
Stop carrying that baggage. You angry? At the drop of a hat, you upset, you're all up in rage in your emotions. Wisdom tell us, what does wisdom say? No, you need to stop that. Don't do that. Don't carry that baggage.
Don't carry it, because I'm pretty sure along with it, you got some high blood pressure. Thank you, Katrell. Yah says, the children born also to Shem, our father, the father of the children of Emba, the brother of Japhite the elder. The sons of Shem were.
Say what?
the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder.
So Shem is older than Japheth, isn't he?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Shem is older than Ham, isn't he?
Exactly.
Which means he gets the firstborn rights of Noah, his father, right?
Exactly.
That's where you have to understand the order. It's not just saying that just because it's saying it. No, Shem is the firstborn. Shem,
exactly.
Ham, Japheth. Shem is exactly. The older brother of Japheth.
Exactly. And y'all need to keep that in mind now. You need to write it down somewhere. So let's look at these nations. Elam. Ashur. Phat.
Aphrakshad.
Aphrakshad. Lut. Adam. The sons of Aaron. You remember this city? Who came from this city? I'm about to mention. If anybody can tell me who came from this city when our founding father, he had a golden donut. Well, Uz. Who came from Uz, the city of Uz? Who came from Uz?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm
yes.
Sure. You got to twist it.
Okay.
Aram came from the city of Ur, not Uz.
Wait just a minute. Okay. Bear with me for 1 second.
Abraham came from the city of Ur. You are.
Oh, you right.
Ur.
Yeah, you know, I instituted a Z for R, and you certainly right. Because I'm going back. My mind is calculating like a computer. You certainly right. And I stand corrected. All right.
So I get the gold star, but I'm gonna leave it to you.
No, it was a golden donut, and I will take it. Thank you. The sons of Adam was Uz, Ul, Getha, and Mash, and Ashpharad begot Shalah. Shalom begat Eber. To Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Zotan.
Zotan. So, wait a minute. What was his name when the earth was divided?
Zotan.
No. That's not what my book said.
Okay. Share it with us.
It says in the 25th verse, to Eber were born two sons. The name of the one son was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided. Peleg. His brother's name was Yachton. Yachton. Yachton became the father of Almodad, Shelef, Hazar Marbeth, Yerah, Hedoram, Uzal, Dikla, Obam, Abimael, Sheba, Ophir, Havila, and Misha, as you go towards says big mountain of the east. So, so Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided. His name is Peleg. That's when the earth was divided. Peleg.
Okay. Thank you, Gadriel. And these were the sons of Shem, according to the families. According to their languages, in their lands, according to their nations.
According to their what?
Their nations, not races.
It ain't say religion?
No, not races nor religion.
So the Most High deals with people on the planet Earth, not with religion, but with nation. What nation are you from? And
exactly.
Most of our people don't know the nation they're from. Unfortunately.
That's because it's easy if you just study. These were the families of the sons of Noah, according to their generations, and their nations.
According to what?
Their nations.
Oh, not religions, but what?
No races. Their nations.
Okay.
And from these, the nations were divided on the earth after the flood, and basically after Baba. And like Katria mentioned, the Elohim got a little ahead of himself, but he went back to play. And he did that for a reason, so you can understand some things, the dynamic of things, what had transpired after Baba. So just bear with us, keep studying with us, and the more you study, the more you learn. And bless us all. I want to thank Katria. Well, thank you, Sister Avia. I want to thank you, fellow students, for studying along with it and being patient with us. But keep studying. And the more you study, the more we sharpen each other, and that's what it's about. We love you. And Katria is about to share some wisdom and understanding with you. And in the second chapter of Ecclesiastes, may the Most High bless him and bless you in these studies.
Well, praise to the Holy One of Israel. In these studies, we've seen what happened after the flood of Noah. The Most High began to identify man from the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And he didn't identify them after religions, but after their languages, after their land, and after their nation. So those of us who don't understand that that's how Yah looks at things, that we're not in religious cults and things of that nature. The Most High looks at people of the earth in terms of nations. What are the nations doing? Not what are the religions doing, but what are the nations doing? And most of the nations, they were idolatry. So we the nation that are supposed to praise, honor, extol, and give thanks to the creator of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All praise.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So, I don't know. People don't understand, maybe, because people look at the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, as a religious book. But here we see Yah's not dealing with mankind in terms of religion, but in terms of what? In terms of nation, right?
Exactly.
From jump, from the time of Noah, after Noah, sons of Shem, Ham, and Japheth are categorized as nations, languages, and tongues. So where people get religion from, how they carve out religion out of the Holy Scriptures, what Yah is saying, means that all those PhDs and doctorate degrees, they don't really understand what Yah is talking about. And Yah's word is so simple. You see, he's talking about nations and not religion.
Well, if you don't want to understand Kajrael, you won't.
No. As long as you're making money, convincing people that's religion, whether you Baptist, Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventist, Amy, Zion, Buddhist, whatever, how you use the Bible is out of context, because Yah deals with nations, and we are his holy nation. He chose us, Israel, to be his holy nation. That's the understanding that we lack as a people. We say we black, we Negro, we African-American, we colored. No, sorry. Those are the names your enemy gave you. Bywords, proverbs, signs and wonders. Who are you? You're not black. You're not Negro. You're not colored. You're not Amy Zion. You're not Baptist. You're not Christian. That's your religion that you've chosen. But your roots and your culture, your ethnicity, is Yisrael? What nation do you belong to? Are you Mizraim? Are you Japhet? Or are you Shem? And based on our study, we know there are many Shemitic nations, right? We just read it. It's not exclusive to Jewish people or to the Jewish religion. Shem No. had many nations, of which we are one. So, I don't know. Mosai dropping jewels in the 10th chapter of Bereshit, the Kumash, the five books of Moses. That's what it's called, Kumash. The Kumash is the first five books of Moses.
Praise God.
I'm done, son. So you about to move on?
No, yeah. You know, yeah, my brother, yeah. Yeah, I told him. But you were elaborating on the 10th chapter. So I let you elaborate, and we're ready to move on.
Yeah, because that was a bomb that we need to meditate on, think about, wasn't it?
Exactly was. Exactly was.
Mm-hmm.
It sets the foundation for everything you should do and think upon, and how you should do it, not in terms of religion in our race, but in terms of a nation.
And you don't have to go to Ancestry.com, because way before Ancestry.com was ever recorded, our people started doing that first, didn't they? The prophet Moses. I'm going to let you know who's who and what's what on planet Earth.
On Yah.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
And the question is, who are you? Are you Shemitic? Are you Hamitic? Or are you Japhetic? And these are things that he can't deny, right? Because the Egyptians exist. The Canaanites exist, the Philistines exist, the Greeks, the Russians, they exist.
Jews.
Where they come from? Huh?
The Jews, they exist.
But if you don't know where people on planet Earth come from, you're in a state of confusion. Because you may think that human beings come from apes. That's what they teach us. That's what we believe. And that Jesus Christ is your Savior. All right.
All right.
Y'all rock what they teach you. So we in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2. I don't know. Maybe Young Soup is cooking some curry goat.
You must not hear him. He told you for you could move on.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
But it's all good. Still, it's all good. You hear?
No. But as I said, you were elaborating. And so I let you elaborate. Now I figured you would move on when time permits.
I can elaborate all night. I can elaborate all night long on that particular chapter. No doubt.
Hey, your brother. We as students had no problem whatsoever with it.
But I ain't going to do that. I mean, because people, you know, they pay money to go to Ancestry.com. Ancestry.com ain't connecting you with Noah. That's for sure.
No, that's for sure.
But you got Ancestry.com right in your crib if you got a Bible.
No, we got Yah.com.
We got Yah.com.
We don't need... one, two, three, who is you and me, whatever the people you talk about, we don't need that. We got Yah.com. Way before Ancestry.com. Hey,
so
you going to
move ahead?
Kytrell, they can send me that money. They can tell me who, what they named me, where they folk came from. I can tell them right off.
I know they're going to tell you. I know they're going to tell you, Yasser.
What was that?
that you are West African, Sub-Saharan African Negro.
They can't
you came from.
That's
you
a
came
lie.
From. You came from Ghana, and you probably Igbo or something.
That's a lie.
Yeah.
That's why I ain't asking nothing. Y'all already told me what I need to know.
So we're in chapter 2 of the book of the preacher man.
Preacher man.
You know who the preacher man is, right?
Yeah, preacher man.
The preacher man is King Solomon, King of Israel.
Hallelujah. Preacher man.
So like writers take on other titles or character, right? Call them
right.
Like ghost authors, they take on another title.
Right.
So essentially the book of Ecclesiastes is like the diary, the innermost thoughts of King Solomon. And we already know he's trying to explore everything in life, what's life all about. And these are the conclusions that he's come to. All right, so y'all ready?
Ready,
King
brother.
Solomon is considered the wisest man on the planet. We're about to go into his diary.
Hey, brother.
Praise
God. Praise
God. How many people want their diaries read publicly?
Not too many, that's for sure.
Okay. So here we go. King Solomon, King of Israel, King of Judah. What's he saying? Verse 1, King Solomon says, I said to my God, come now, I will test you with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, is foolishness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? And these things that he's talking about, this is how we entertain ourselves today, right? We like to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Like to watch TV, see the stupid things that's going on. We're going to be happy, right?
Exactly.
His question is, what does happiness accomplish for you? What does this accomplish? You laughing, you happy. What does it accomplish in your life? Mm-hmm. So he says, I search my heart how to cheer my flesh with wine, my heart yet guiding me with wisdom. And how to lay hold of folly, until I might see what was good for the sons of men, that they should do under the heavens all the days of their lives. So, in other words, what makes crazy people, foolish people happy? What makes wise people happy? King Solomon wanted to know it all. If I'm a fool, does that really make me happy? Right? He said, I made myself great works. I built myself houses. I planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and parks. And I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made myself pools of water to water the forests where trees would grow. So way before global warming and consciousness of the environment, guess what? King Solomon was conscious of the environment, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
He says, I bought male servants and female servants and had servants born in my house. I also had great possessions of herds and flocks above all who were for me in Jerusalem. I also gathered silver and gold for myself and the treasures of kings and of the provinces. I got myself male and female singers and the light of the sons of men, musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold from my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced because of all my labor. and this was my portion from all my labor. Then I looked at all the works that my hand had worked, and at the labors that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and a chasing after wind, and there was no profit under the sun. So y'all realize what King Solomon just told us?
All of, with all he had, nothing really mattered, really. It didn't mean anything.
Everything that people desire today, silver and gold, servants, born in his house, guess what he said about it? It don't mean anything.
Nothing.
Because it's vanity. It's a chasing after the wind. And people are chasing after the wind. Because everything that King Solomon just described, people want today, right? Male servants, great possessions of herds and flocks, above all before me, silver and gold, and the treasure of kings. We have the treasure of kings. And flock and herd and male servants and female servants. What more could you want?
Well, what is that old saying, Capriam? Money can't buy you happiness.
Oh, yeah. Can't buy me love. Can't buy me love. Money can't buy you love. The Beatles.
I didn't know they had a black Beatle. I mean, a brother Beatle.
Oh. Oh, yeah, Beatles are black, ain't they? Beatles are black, ain't they?
Yeah, truth be told.
But, yeah, man, King Solomon says, I turn myself to consider wisdom, madness, and folly. So King Solomon looking at, hey, man, wisdom, which we all should seek, but beyond wisdom, which we should seek, King Solomon looking for madness. There's a lot of people with psychological traumas today walking around with no cures, right? Call it mental health issues, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there's people that are mad, post-traumatic stress syndrome, whatever they got. People walking around mad in their mind. They're not connected with reality.
Crazy to want.
And then you look at the other people who are just fools, folly, who chase after foolishness all day long, which is a part of madness. Because if you chase the folly, chase the madness, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Fool's book. His question is, for what can the king successor do? What can the king do about madness and folly? This just that which has been done long ago. Then I saw that wisdom excels folly. And every human being on earth should know that wisdom does what? Excels folly as far as light excels darkness. There's a distinction between wisdom and folly. If you caught up with folly, I'm sure you're on Fool's Book. Right? It says the wise man's eyes are in his head, and the fool walks in darkness. And yet I perceive that one event happens to them all. And I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, so will happen to even me. And why was I even more wise? So he's questioning, you know, what's life about? You got fools and you got wise people. And in the end, we all die, right?
Exactly.
Then I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, so it happened to me. And why was I even more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For of the wise man, even as of the fool, there is no memory forever. Since in the days to come, all will have been long forgotten. Indeed, the wise man must die just like the fool. Ain't that true?
Ain't that true?
But he was wrong, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Because we're reading about him, but we're not reading about the fools that was around him, are we?
Right.
No. We don't want to study the fools.
Oh, no. King Solomon was a wise man. And we do remember him. He's not long been forgotten. Everybody got a copy of what King Solomon said, right?
Exactly.
So although he thought he would be forgotten in his wisdom, he has not been forgotten, has he?
No, he has not.
All right. So I hated life. This is his personal feelings, his personal diary. King Solomon, with all the power he had, all the gold, silver, the women, the power, why is he hating life?
He's being melancholy.
He says because the work that is worked under the sun was grievous to me for all his vanity and the chasing after wind. So he saw his life as chasing after the wind with the power, the splendor, the wisdom, and the might that he had. He felt it was all just in vain because one day I'm going to die.
But he was looking at life introspective. He saw life introspective, looking inward into himself, his own shortcomings and everybody else's shortcomings and wisdom and understanding in relationship to that. So he was looking within himself, and he saw life through the prism of his own eyes within himself. And instead of seeing wisdom and understanding in Yah, which he finally did in the final analysis, he's being melancholy. And when he's saying the things that he's saying, not believing truthfully and wholeheartedly what he's saying, but just like somebody's hurting. You know, King Solomon's hurting. And he's talking out his hurt.
He sounds like me when I was 14 years old.
That's what I'm talking about. That's
and
what
I wasn't
about.
A king.
Yeah,
I'm a 14-year-old child growing up in Harlem. And he's feeling what I'm feeling. And he's this powerful, wise king of Israel. He's feeling the same thing I'm feeling.
Exactly.
So it don't matter what status of life you feel, you got to be connected with the Most High.
Bingo.
There you go.
That's good. That's going to add value, intrinsic value to your life, something that you can't add to yourself with all your wisdom, with all your knowledge, your man knowledge, your humanism. You cannot add the value you need in life to see life for what it is. And see life for what the Most High wanted to be for you, you'll never be able to see that disconnect from the Elohim. And he was disconnected at that time, disjointed. So he needed to get back to the Elohim to see things the way the Elohim and wisdom wanted him to see. Then he could value it. Otherwise, you're going to feel sorry for yourself, and you're going to say, man, what the hell is all this for?
Or you'll be chasing vanity, which is like chasing after what? The wind.
The wind.
The wind.
How many people out there chasing the wind, Yamsun?
Just like a dog chases tail, everybody.
Mm-hmm. There's so many people out there chasing the wind.
That's true, Kaji.
And why do I say that? Because you ain't reached the level that King Solomon reached.
No.
And he felt that his life was like chasing after the wind. He was not satisfied. That's why he said, so I hated life. King Solomon hates life? You got 700 wives and 300 concubines? And you the wisest man, the richest man on the planet, you hate life?
Contra, you can understand as a 14-year-old how he was feeling.
That's what I'm saying. King Solomon, to say that you hated life, you king of Israel, you got 700 wives, 300 concubines. You got all the gold you need. You talking about you hate life? You sound like me at 14.
Right.
You know.
Life is a challenge, huh?
It's something similar to the way I feel, like King Solomon said, all his vanity. I can understand that because, like, although I live all right, and I have what I need and can share everything, but what I have didn't make me happy.
No.
You know, the best days of my life was when I found Yah and
praise
going into the studies and understanding who I am to Yah, who Yah, how he lead for means for me to lead, be in my life, to lead my life by serving him the best that I can. So I can understand some of where he's coming. King Solomon come from in YouTube, Brother Contrail, at the age of 14, because I've always looked back at my life and said, why did I have to suffer like that? Why did I do this? Or when I was out doing the foolish things, thought I was enjoying myself, I look back now and I feel that same way. So I can understand where King Solomon coming from, all the vanity.
So he's so focused on himself, he can't see that Yah has given him gifts that benefits
mm-hmm.
who? The gifts that Yah gave King Solomon benefits us today, doesn't it?
Yes, indeed.
Because we wouldn't know that wisdom was the first thing that Yah created if King Solomon didn't put it down on paper, did he? Right?
That's right.
So he had a purpose. He had a reason. He had a cause. Yah created King Solomon for a reason, but internally, he's struggling within himself. He's struggling with so much in himself. He's talking about that he hates life. Why should he hate life when he didn't have to go through what his father, King David, had to go through?
No.
King Solomon didn't have to go through what King David went through.
Mm-hmm.
No.
But he hates life.
And you never heard his father speak like that.
Oh, no. Not at all. But this is King Solomon's personal diary.
But we need to be much more like King Darwin.
Oh, yeah.
And so self-absorbed. And you have to connect with Yah and wisdom and understanding to see the best in this challenge. Yes, it's challenging, but it's rewarding too. And the only way you're going to be able to see that is in tune and connected with Yah and codified and systematically regulated by his statutes. That's the only, and you can't see the beauty when the sun rises in the morning, when the little birds are singing in the tree, when the crickets or cricketers are singing at night, the beauty of the animals, the mountains. Life can be beautiful. But the only way you can see that beauty, that you connect with the Elohim, you're tuned into him, and wisdom and understanding. Otherwise, no matter what you got, you can have the best wife in the world. You can have the best friends in the world. You can have all the gold and tea in China. You still ain't going to be happy, and you're going to hate life.
That's right. Exactly.
So here, we're talking about King Solomon. How many men would trade their life for the life that King Solomon had?
I got my hand. I can do without them 700 wives and 300 concubines.
But what kind of power is that? You could have 700 women.
Just because you have it don't work for you. So I just give me one good woman. That's all I need. I don't need them headaches, okay? How many times can I go into a house and find a spot? How many times can I go on the rooftop? Everything, because you have it, ain't good for you.
And King Solomon is the best example for us because he's showing his agony with all the power, with all the charisma, with all the wisdom that he had. This man talked about he hates life. Wait a minute.
That's a hell
How
of
do
a
you
state.
Hate life, huh?
That's a hell of a state, Kaji. That's a hell of a state.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Imagine if we had the power of King Solomon. And you're talking about you hate life.
Yeah, that's a hell of a statement to make.
We got to meditate on what he's saying here. This is his personal diary. He was not happy with what was going on. And he let you know. He wrote it down. It's better to dwell on the rooftop than a house of contentious women. And that's what he was dealing with. So it's so sad, so tragic. King Solomon, son of a great man, the mighty man, King David, hates life? What are you talking about?
In country,
all the power, all the riches, all the women, with all the wisdom that you got, you hate life?
And Cartrell, I would rather, yeah. I was saying I'm not going to get before you, but the next statement he makes, he's worried about the wrong thing. He worried about who captain and it going to mess up what he told to make. Bruh, you worried about the wrong thing. And that's how we are. We all like that. We're worried about the wrong things. All of us. Go ahead, Cartrell.
So as great a level that King Solomon reached, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. We all have faults, flaws, fallacies, shortcomings. You know why? Because the Most High made us out of dust. As great as King Solomon is, was, could have been, he's a mortal man. He's made of dust, just like us. He got shortcomings, right?
Yes. Exactly.
And the fact that he expresses them shows his humility.
Exactly.
Everybody ain't showing their vulnerabilities, their flaws, their fallacies. But just like his father, in these memoirs, Ecclesiastes, King Solomon is showing his fallacies, his flaws, his vulnerabilities, right?
Exactly.
Okay, you could be rich as you want. You could be the mightiest man on earth. But it doesn't mean you're going to be happy. And he's showing that he's not happy with all the power that he had. He didn't have to do what his father did, fight a giant or fight nations. King Solomon lived, ruled, and dwelt in peace for 40 years. And he talking about he hates life? He got 700 wives and 300 concubines? And you're the richest man? You got all this gold and silver? And you're not happy? Wow. But I'm going to continue. First, what I leave off.
18.
Verse 18. Here we go. King Solomon says, I hated all my labor in which I labored under the sun. What kind of labor did King Solomon do? He wasn't out in the field picking cotton or running after sheep or goats. He's talking about he hated what? All the labor which he labored under the sun. Because I must leave it to the man which comes after me. How about if his father said the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
King David. How about if King David said, I hated all my labor which I labored under the sun? No, Ak, you're supposed to pick up the banner from King David. Not all this negativity, you worrying about the sun that's coming after you. Leave that in the hands of the Most High, which is what your father, King David, did, right? Y'all feel me? Y'all with me?
Mm-hmm.
What King Solomon talking about? He hated all his labor in which he labored under the sun. You ain't work as hard as King David to establish the kingdom and the unity of the nation of Israel. But here you are talking about you hated all your labor. What labor did you do, Ak? Who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool? King David wasn't worried about that. He left it in the hand of the Most High, didn't he?
As he should.
As he should, just like your father. Yet, he will have rule over all my labor. Like you really did something. Your father, King David, set you up, didn't he?
Exactly.
Yes, he will rule over all my labor in which I have labored and in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. He's a little bit arrogant here.
Your father made your country. You sitting on the throne. Your father fought no nations. Your father didn't run from King, was I King, First King? Your father didn't go through the turmoil and the controversy he went through. Your father just didn't do anything, but you put in all this work, King Solomon. Come on, man, stop it. He is arrogant. And self-centered to boot.
He says, this also is vanity, all this labor he done put in.
Yeah.
If you're trying to measure it now. What labor you put in, King Solomon? Okay. He says,
go ahead.
Therefore, I began to cause my heart to despair concerning all the labor in which I had labored under the sun. But you focus on yourself, man. For there is a man whose labor is wisdom, with knowledge, and with skillfulness. Yet he shall leave it for his portion to a man who is not labored for it. You really talk about yourself, because King David set up the kingdom for you. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what does a man have of all his labor and of the striving of his heart in which he labors under the sun? For all his days of sorrows and his travail is grief. Yes, even in the night, his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat from the hand of Yah. Oh, you got it right there. For who can eat or who can have enjoyment more than I? For to the man who pleases him, Elohim gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy. But to the sinner, he gives travail, to gather and to heap up, that he may give him who pleases Yah. This also is vanity and a chasing after. So our king, King Solomon, he had a lot of wisdom, but you could also see his arrogancy in that he worried about what his son is going to receive, but he's not worried about what he received from his father and all the labors that his father went through to establish him as king. Praise Yah, and bless his holy name.
Hallelujah.
The wife was called. I do apologize to y'all. She had to go to senior day for one of the boys, and I had to go to school for the granddaughter, check on her, see what her grades was doing and whatnot. And I told the other boy, I'm making arrangements to get with your teacher one morning and call me, because I don't want to see what you got going on. So yeah, you know what, Cartrell? You know, King, I've never really, you know, I went through hell as a child, but I didn't project that on nobody else. I didn't know what other hell they went through, and it never limited me. I never felt so bad as to say, well, you know, whatever I leave, my daughters, they may be stupid and mess up. Well, if they do, they do. If they don't, they don't. That's what I'm saying. Some of us are worried. That's why we got mental health problems. That's why we're melancholy. That's what we got, as Cartrell said, PTSD and other kind of stuff going on in our minds, because we're worried about the wrong thing. Because instead of connecting with the Elohim and everything, wisdom and understanding and everything, we become self-absorbed and self-centered. And we start seeing the world is all about me. The world ain't all about Yumsu. The world is about the world. The world don't need Yumsu. The world needs Yah and wisdom and understanding. And you can appreciate the smaller things in life. And you can take value in what you contributed to life. Instead of worrying about, the brother said so many eyes, Sister Abby, I almost fell asleep with all them eyes. The world is much more than I. The world is much more than Yum Soup. Yam Su need the Elohim and wisdom and understanding, and to help contribute to the world. Instead of, well, what's that saying? Ask not what your nation can do for you. Ask what you can do for your nation attitude.
Yeah.
That's how his attitude should have been, like his father's. No, I love you, King Solomon, but I'm glad he's your daddy coming back, not you. Because I don't know if I can come to the palace with all you cussing with your wife while I'm trying to talk about some stuff anyway, feeling melancholy. You know, you're a great man, but you're not great like your daddy. He didn't complain about nothing. He didn't complain when King Saul was running him down all over the country. He didn't complain when he had to go to war and take everything. He didn't complain when his men said, you got to get off the battlefield because you're too old for this. You can't do this no more. He just accepted his lot in life and humbled himself. And like we all have to do, accept your lot in life and humble yourself. It ain't all about I. You'll never be happy with I. You'll be happy with us. You'll be happy with your contribution. You'll be happy with the LOM and wisdom and understanding and seeing your life through the eyes of wisdom and understanding and the LOM. And that's true. Praise Yah and bless his holy name.
And that's the difference between King David and King Solomon. King Solomon was worried about the I, what my son gone, do after I'm gone. You ain't never heard that from King David. King David wasn't worried about his sons. Matter of fact, they felt that King David loved his sons too much. Absalom, you wailing and bawling, and this man wanted to kill you.
Well, your folks had to tell you, man, straighten up fly right now. Come on, man. He mean to put it work, man. You're crying over that boy trying to kill you now. Come on. Dry his heels. You're right.
And the fact that he set up King Solomon so lovely to the degree his son King Solomon didn't have to fight any wars. King Solomon complained about his son who's going to inherit the labors, what he did. What you do, King Solomon? What did you do? That compares with your father,
you
King
know
David.
Not to make light of it, brothers, but with King Solomon, the only labor I see he might have had was working with them concubines and them wives.
You stop
That's
it.
The only kind of labor he really had.
No. No. We can't disrespect our king. Our king was all. But he did leave us. He did leave us the path of wisdom. Right? King Solomon
yes,
did that.
I understand that, Brother Contrail. That's why I said not to make light of it. But he did put his work with them wives and the concubines.
So it says that the children of Israel, whether we kings or whether we're paupers, none of us are perfect in the eyes of Yah. Whether we're kings, prophets, the Most High don't see us as perfect.
Right.
Although King Solomon was wise, he wasn't perfect.
Right.
But what he left us jewels, he left us gold, he left us what's more precious than silver and gold that men chase. So we chasing what King Solomon left. With all his fallacies and flaws and with all his vulnerabilities, and all of us have it. That's why Yah shows us who we are. King Solomon was a great man, but he had flaws.
Just like you said earlier, all the riches, all that gold and everything still not satisfied. So you're not happy. It's not doing nothing for you. Our purpose is to be here to serve Yah.
And that's good information. I mean, as Contrail said, and Sister Abby and I concur with it. And he left a vital, don't be like me. When he said, don't be like me, that's the best way to use it. Don't be like me. I hate life. I hate thinking about what's going to come tomorrow with my son. But yet, in the end, he was honest. I ain't did nothing for nobody, really. I did the thing he was supposed to do, but yet I didn't have my heart in what I did. I did it by remote control. Because my daddy said, to show yourself a man. I manned up, but I manned up. I wanted to man. I had to.
The thing is, King Solomon went in with all of his heart. What did he say? I explored wisdom I explored madness. I explored folly. And he did it 110%. He explored wisdom 110%. He explored madness 110%. And he explored folly 110%. So that he can leave it on record what these things are.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what, y'all? I mean, that's why I love these studies. We can see so many angles, or we can walk to the left 10 feet and see one angle. We can walk to the right, see another angle. We can go 180 degrees around and see another different angle. It's because that's what it's all about. Everybody's seeing different angles and bringing those angles together and seeing it for what it is. That's why Yah says, you know, we sharpen each other. Because one man or one woman don't get it. Because it's an us thing. See, anything in life is an us thing. It's not an I. It's an us. King Dawood showed that life was an us thing. King Solomon is showing a whole different perspective. 180 degrees from his father. When you self-absorb, self-centered, arrogant, ego warm up, it's all about me, my happiness, any means necessary. I really can't see life for what it really is supposed to be. And I hate it. You shouldn't hate life. Be more like your daddy. He didn't hate life. He humbled himself always. He stayed connected with the Elohim, as we should always be under any circumstance. So you can see the beauty of life. You can see the good in people when they don't see the good in themselves. And just like Cottrell said, we all fall short. Each one of us are dirty in some respect. So let's keep working. Let's keep working toward perfection. Let's keep working toward the Most High coming and bringing us back and all of us shamefaced. Cleaning us up. Giving our heads, giving our names back, our family names back. And putting it back in our land. Look for that. Because we're looking at the wrong things. We're looking at life introverted. Stop looking at life introverted. It's all about me. No, it's not. It's not about Yom Suk. Yom Suk don't matter because it don't mean nothing. It's about us. I always hear about the Elohim in us. Praise Yah and bless His holy name. Katrina, Savia.
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. All we are is dust in the wind. And maybe we can make an impact in the lives that the Most High blessed us with. And that's why I'm so grateful, so thankful to the Most High that He's showing us these truths. And how we need to balance our spiritual lives, not our mental and our physical, but Most High has given us superpower spiritually.
Humility, Cottrell says, along with these studies, explaining these studies to you, humility is the key. Controlling one's anger is the key. Stop living in your own past. It's the key. Stop worrying about what somebody else doing when you wait here. It's the key. And stop thinking you're better than sliced bread. It's the key. Humble yourself, if I'm being repetitive. It's the key. You're nothing. You're dust in the wind, as Cottrell just mentioned. It doesn't matter because it doesn't mean anything in our regard. Individually. But what matters to us as a nation means everything. What matters to us as people that worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub means everything. What did King Dawood say? Most High, I'm lower than a word. I'm dirty than a minstrel call. I got more niggas on me than the hands on my head. And we had to keep having that mind, not puffing your chest out, beating your chest. Well, I didn't made it this far in schooling. I didn't pass the test. Well, you're going to keep taking it.
Praise God and bless his holy name.
Hallelujah.
Patria, Susanna, any closing remarks?
Only thing I want to say is seek Yah with all your heart, soul, and strength, and you will find all the happiness, and you will find your real purpose of being here on this land until we make it back home to our land. So shalom and good night.
Hallelujah. Praise Yah.
Well, praise. And the only way you're going to find Yah is by seeking wisdom. Because by way of wisdom, you'll find your way to the Most High. You ain't studying wisdom. You think you got it? It only means that you're leaning on your own understanding. Because wisdom is a discipline in order to find the pathway and the doorway to the creator of the universe. So you got to seek Yah, you got to seek wisdom too. And while you're seeking Yah, wisdom will lead you on the way. So King Solomon gave it all up. And in his humility, he expressed his vulnerabilities and his flaws and his fallacies. And you have to be open, transparent with the creator of the universe because he sees all things and everything. And like King David said, my iniquities are more than the hairs of my head. And you're not hiding them from you. You just have to admit him to the Most High, just like King David. Which is why Yah loved King David, because King David knew that he was powder and dust. He's nothing but dust in the wind. And he acknowledged that he was that flawed. So we got to do the same thing. That's where humility comes in. We're not perfect. We're not righteous than anybody else. We have to admit our flaws, our fallacies, our shortcomings, and the Most High will love you. Praise Yah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, y'all, here again, we're at the closing. And here again, revert the whole lot. And please come back to study with us. We continue to try to learn a whole lot. Praise the Most High and bless his holy name. Thank you, Cartel. Thank you, Sister Abia. And thank you, fellow students. We love y'all. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night.
While the morning sun's away.